At these computers, they're so naughty and so complex.
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your call.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting hour of the MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. Mike Rayo is not here. Where is Mike?
Seattle.
Seattle.
I believe he's starting a grunge band.
Well, on the on the bright side, at least it's raining on him too then, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, my name is Tim Tibbetts, so I've been, I guess I'm your host for the day. Good luck with that. Over here on the other microphone is the eek to my geek, Jim McMahon. And over to my right, we even gave him a microphone because, well, we could probably use a little help killing some time today.
Yeah.
Is the nerd to my geek.
Finally.
Gus.
Finally, I can speak. I've been muted for weeks around here.
Usually put one of those muzzles on them, you know?
One of those, like, they had in Silence of the Lambs.
There you go.
Maybe look like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do today? Well, if all goes well and Will Smith gets up, we're going to talk to Will about the latest issue of Maximum PC. I think mine just arrived yesterday, which means it should show up in the newsstands within the next few days, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
We want to maybe talk to him about some stuff like the future of PC gaming, the folding project, which we had talked about before, donating your computers, extra cycles, a little bit about watching TV on the internet, and of course the geek quiz, which is, if I understood you right, you looked at it, it was very difficult, right?
It's very hard. Well, yeah. I'll throw a couple of questions out as we go, because I knew I did fairly well on it, but boy, some of these are tough. Like, for example, what question number 42? If anybody knows this, I'll give them a T-shirt. You can call right in, and we'll give you a T-shirt. The native command queuing, as implemented in SATA,
wow,
you can't even say the words. Pause for another cup of coffee. 3, 2, 1. The native command queuing, as implemented in the SATA specification, has a queue depth of how many requests?
5.
A, 16.
Oh.
B, 32.
Multiple choice helps.
C, 48. D, 64.
32.
You
can't tell the answer, though, right?
I'm not going to tell the answer. Right. Somebody calls in with that, I'll give
32.
Them a T-shirt.
Which reminds me, that's 421-9325. And if you can't find those numbers and you want to try a different route, 421-WFBL. And if you have any other questions or anything else we can help you out with, give us a call, because I have a funny feeling we may not have enough to talk about for an hour. We may have to switch to playing poker in dead air at some point.
Yeah, we could do live radio poker. It'd be the first time ever.
Yeah, just to hear one. Click.
Click.
Ching, ching.
Click.
That would be it. So we'll have the website of the week coming up. Jimmy's Geek of the Week software pick, which he probably hasn't picked yet, right?
I'll have something.
Yeah,
right,
okay. You go, girl. And how about some announcements, Jim? What do we got going on for announcements?
This week's announcements. May brings us the Sierra Mist That's Funny National Comedy Search to Syracuse, and the Technology Geeks are one of the sponsors. Basically, it's a competition. You can go in there. If you think you're funny, you can show up. The preliminary rounds are Wednesday, May 10th and 17th.
Funny.
I know, but, you know, I mean, this is how Mike got his start, and look, he's playing, well, Seattle, you know. preliminary rounds are Wednesday, May 10th and 17th at Cucina di Amore in Bayberry Plaza, Liverpool. I hope I pronounced that
I can fess up now. I asked you to do the announcements because I didn't know how to say that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Thank you.
Cucina di Amore. It may not be pronounced right, but it sounds good coming out. And that's in Bayberry Plaza, Liverpool. You can come in and compete or stop in for a great night of comedy with the contestants. There'll be a national headliner to finish off the night, that sort of thing. The finals are Thursday, May 25th at the Palace Theater. The finals will be headlined by Syracuse's own Joe DeLeon, which will be his first performance in Syracuse in 5 years. He owns the club Viva Debris Comedy Club.
Yep.
All the events have local celebrity judges, and the comedy by national headliners will follow afterwards. For ticket information, call 516-0072. That's 516-0072. So if you think you're funny, give them a call. You can get up on stage, do a little act, and you know, they'll have preliminary rounds, finals, and you'll be you'll be the next sitcom star.
Now, as a sponsor, is Mike performing as well or no?
It says that it's going to have national talent, so I would say no.
Okay.
But he may show up as one of the contestants.
And again, if you could understand what Jim said and for some strange reason know the answer to whatever it was he said, 421-9325, or if we can answer any of your questions. Otherwise, I guess we might as well jump off into some news. How about that? Thank you. How about this one? Google sued as a source of porn. Now, once again, we get to go into politics, which I really hate to do, but this one, I actually lost IQ points as I read this story.
You don't have that many to spare.
This is the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So think how dumb I am now.
I know.
A Nassau County legislator filed a lawsuit Thursday claiming Google Inc. generates billions of dollars from the pornography trade and illicit profiteers. See how I said that?
Yeah.
Nice, beautiful. Huh?
Yeah.
Not bad for, you know, compared to what I usually do. Yeah. This was four-term legislator Jeffrey Toback, Democrat, calls the internet search engine the world's largest distributor of child pornography, claiming a child porn is part of the company's business model. Google continues to put its economic gains ahead of the interests and well-being of America's children, the lawsuit filed in Nassau State Supreme Court alleges. Now, the guy can't do anything from his seat, his elected seat, mm-hmm. against this. So he's opted to individually sue them on a personal level.
That's insane. That's insane.
Now, here's the best part. Now, this is what I said. I think I put a tagline, if you check Major Geeks, next to the story. Said, please take all politicians' computers away.
Yeah.
Somebody fed this guy something, and he ran with it without doing any research. It's the only thing that could make sense, because there's no... It'd be very... I just can't see that anybody is this stupid.
He may be looking to, by garnering some headlines, be able to move up a seat and whatever.
No, here,
but
he admits to it.
Yeah.
It says, a self-described as not the most computer-literate guy, said he learned of the filter 3 days ago. He said he didn't know if the computers in his home have commercial filtering software to block pornography and other materials unsuitable for children. So let me see if I got this right, Jeff. You don't know if you have any protection on your computers to protect your children, if you have any children. And more importantly, you don't watch your kids.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you're blaming Google?
And it's Google's fault.
What a dumb thing to do.
I can't say enough, sir, you are a moron.
Hey.
Unbelievable.
We should give an IQ test to all politicians, but then we wouldn't have any, right?
Yeah, it's probably
wouldn't
true.
Be able to pass
like it. I said, I hate to drag politics into this, but you know, when they drag computers into their world while saying, geez, I don't know what kind of protection I have at home on my computer. I'm really not all that computer literate, but Google's the biggest porn spreader in the world, so I'm suing them. I was trying to think of something I could compare it to, you know, to parallel with it, and I can't think of anything.
The stupidest computer thing I've ever seen reported was, and this is right up with that, is a Syracuse newspaper about 5-6 years ago said that .jpg was a file extension code for pornography. And you know, clearly they didn't do any research on what .jpg is, which is JPEG, and it's any graphics format can be a JPEG.
But
it doesn't matter what it is.
He couldn't have possibly done anything. I mean, Google came back out with their statement, which was the obvious, that they're a search engine. People submit stuff all the time. As soon as they're aware of anything, it gets pulled. Now, I don't know about you, but I use Google every single day, and I have for many years. Mm-hmm. And I have never come up with a porn site. You type something wrong, it corrects your spelling so you don't end up hitting a rogue website.
Right.
I don't know how much better a company can do.
They do a fantastic job.
Right.
Try some of the other search engines, and it's amazing what you'll come up with.
And there's actually search engines designed to go find stuff like that, which are in the dark recesses of the internet somewhere. It's up to you to figure out. But they're out there. How about this one? The Swiss Army knife worm is spreading. It's a new worm detected that's far more advanced than most malware picked up to date by investigators, and that in and of itself is a scary thing. Watching the guys on the forums, Chase Lang, Shadow Pewter, and the rest of these guys trying to clean up spyware. They had told me, oh, I don't know, probably about 6 months ago, I remember saying this stuff is getting more and more difficult to remove. So to say that this new worm is worse than anything else out there is probably making quite a statement. They're calling it the W32 Nugachi A. It spreads via email, of course, and instant messaging channels, but also includes a novel peer-to-peer element.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Once a PC is infected, it keeps in contact with the controller and other infected machines via a peer-to-peer network using TCP port 8 rather than relying on IRC. So in other words, it's working similar to a file sharing program, which nobody out there would use, right?
Nobody uses those anymore. No. But easily blocked if you're using a hardware router. You can block that port.
Block port 8, yeah. So that's something to look for if you know what you're doing. I don't know, is that one of the block ports by default or no?
It depends on the router.
Depends on the router.
Yeah, some of them open them all up. Some of them, you can close them. It really depends. But that brings a legal question. What if you know, by nature, by having MP3s on your system, like I buy a CD, I rip the MP3, I put it on my system.
Isn't MP3 code for a virus?
Exactly. You know, quick, some congressman, pick up on that, you know, meatheads. Let's say I put that on there, and this virus gets on there, which would share theoretically my MP3s. It's illegal to share MP3s. So does that put me in violation of copyright law because I got a virus?
Good question.
Yeah, let's see the RIAA pick up on that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Goodbye, BearShare. Hello, $30 million.
Whoa!
Online file sharing service BearShare, along with operators FreePeers, is packing it up due to a $30 million settlement with the recording industry. These conditions of the settlement just basically are saying that they've got to shut down. Who else had that happen? They were shut down and came back not too long ago.
Was it WinMX?
It could have been WinMX, yep. Well, BearShare was among several peer-to-peer services to receive cease and desist letters from the RIAA in September of last year. These include Where's P2P, which I've seen posted on a lot of sites. We don't host that one.
Yeah.
LimeWire, eDonkey, and SoulSeek, all of whom have not yet reached a settlement. I'm real happy about this because since we have a friend who's a musician, I'm pretty excited to know that he's probably going to get a nice big chunk of this, right?
He will get absolutely nothing.
Huh.
The lawyers will get a lot of it.
$30 million, yeah. But isn't that what it's all about, the musicians?
Yeah, no, it's about the record companies. As a matter of fact, it's a complete joke to say that music file sharing has hurt the music industry. Record sales are up.
Right.
Because of file sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Profits are up because of file sharing.
Right.
It becomes almost like internet radio. You hear a song and you're like, wow, I'd really like to buy a CD or I'd like to buy a track. The biggest boom on the internet right now is selling MP3s. That's what everybody wants. And, you know, iPods. You know, there's a reason why.
Right.
And the RIAA is actually being sued by artists now because they're making money on the songs and not giving it to the artists.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure out. So they got $30 million.
Yeah.
Don't they represent the artists at the end of the
day? No, they represent the music industry.
Okay. Isn't the music industry the artists?
No.
All right. Well, we'll continue this because
Gus is making some sort of kung fu move.
What does this mean?
I believe that's either
Break my neck.
I can kick Chuck Norris's butt, or we're going to break.
All right. Let's try. Let's go for break.
Yeah.
You're listening to MajorGeeks.com and Technology Geeks. You can give us a shout at 421-9325.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
Has spyware got your computer running slower than a herd of turtles stampeding through peanut butter? Does your computer have so many viruses that you need a tetanus shot just to touch it? Is working on your computer so frustrating that you call the suicide hotline every time you check your email? Cheer up, because it's Rent-A-Nerd to the rescue! Rent-A-Nerd can fix any computer problem for just $89. For just $89 plus the cost of parts, they'll come to your home or office and eliminate your computer problems. Don't despair. Call Rent-A-Nerd 454-5611. That's 454-5611 for Rent-A-Nerd.
Oh, look at that computer.
And we're back. MajorGeeks.com is the Technology Geeks with me attempting to host, and I'm squeaking by. Not too bad. It's not like I have a lot of experience at this. Jimmy. How about a Geek of the Week software pick? What do you got for us? Because I knew you wanted to do something else, so I just wanted to confuse you and watch the look on your face. You're switching papers.
I'm desperately shuffling papers.
What do we got?
This week's software pick, we had talked about RSS readers a couple of weeks ago, and I had mentioned Feed Demon. RSS readers, real simple. It's RSS stands for Real Simple Syndication, and it's a sort of a back end that websites like MajorGeeks.com use. It's a text file that these readers can read and download the content right to your PC, so you can, you know, look at it in a familiar format. Put multiple.
It's almost like a mini browser that monitors all sorts of websites for you.
It goes out and updates it for you, so you don't have to keep checking back. And they're a wonderful tool, and I had recommended one that I had been using for years, and all of a sudden it got bought out by a company, and it toasted my license and said I had to rebuy it and all that. And quite frankly, nothing more annoys me than something like that. And I went out looking, and I found a program out there for free called RSS Reader. It's in our internet tools. It's a fantastic piece of free software. It does everything any RSS reader I've ever seen does. In a nice little interface that resembles a lot like Microsoft Outlook, where it keeps the you can sort, locate, do anything with this little machine. Very low memory footprint, and really easy to implement. So what you do is you load this program, you go to a site like Major Geeks, click the XML RSS feed, and it knows and can put it into its little list, and then you can sort it by type. So if you like news sites or software sites or you know, music sites or whatever, and you can sort it up and it'll check it. Really neat little feature is every time it updates, it puts a little sort of ghosted pop-up on the bottom corner that says what the top stories it just downloaded on. So
you can
look
disable
at
it, right?
You can disable it. But you look down and you can see 20 stories and say, you know what, that's something I'd like to read right now, or that's something I'll want to get back to.
That's pretty handy.
Yeah, very cool little tool. It's called RSS Reader. It's free, and it's in at MajorGeeks.com under Internet Tools.
And if you can't find it, I'll put a link up on TheTechnologyGeeks.com shortly as I multitask here. In the meantime, we have Bob from Syracuse with an email problem. Bob, you there?
Yeah. I get about 50... emails a day at work, and I managed to get through some kind of thing, and it's very repetitive now, and the subject changes and the so-called person it's from changes. It's kind of toilet humor and stuff like that. You can recognize it's all the same thing.
Toilet humor.
Oh
yeah, the sender is always some name that's
so you're worried about
childishly scattered, you know, scatological. So I'm just wondering how I can get rid of this feed. Somehow somebody has this, and they just send me four or five a day, I think.
Is it a friend of yours or no?
No.
Oh, bummer. So it's just spam.
Yeah.
You have no spam filter on?
Yeah, we do. That's why I don't understand why I got through it.
The only thing you can do typically is block it, of course. Now, in Outlook, I think, is the subject always the same?
No.
Okay.
I've blocked, you know, some words to get rid of most of it.
There you go. You're way ahead of me, because Outlook, you can set up keywords and tell it to block it by words, but you need to have something that repeats. So it's very, very difficult. The only thing you can do is you're kind of stuck.
Or put another spam filter on there, like Spam Fighter, and then add those mails. And what they'll do is they'll try and learn what email is spam and then eventually report it back. But
right.
what happens with a lot of the spam filters is they'll have a list someplace. And what they do is they collect data on what is spam and then block. So if there's a really new thing that has come out, they don't know to block it yet. Like,
I've had this thing for months, but as I said, they changed the sender and the subject.
What are you using what are you using for spam filter?
Oh God, I don't know. It's at work.
Oh, it's a service.
I just use it. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, two choices: Outlook rules or get another spam fighting program
Spam Fighter. It's very difficult if they're smart enough to change their email or at least spoof who the email is coming from so that you can hide the original sender. Mm-hmm. They can literally just go through thousands and thousands of emails. The same with the subject and the subject change. You almost can't block it. As Jim said, the only thing you can do is hope that if your spam filter isn't getting it, try a different one like Spam Fighter and hope that it learns from the email what it is that you don't want and can starts to block it just based on the content and the links that are coming in.
Yeah,
so there's no way I can track these people down and kill them.
Give us a call at the show.
Yeah, if you find a way, they could be hunted. I mean, what you could do is perhaps write a letter to abuse@your internet service provider,
right?
And they can look at the email headers and try and figure out where it's coming from. Quite frankly, though, most of it is done by bots or what's called zombie computers. So it's being sent from places that isn't really the originator. Very hard to locate who the originator of these things are. It's easier to just block it. Mm-hmm. But you could write your ISP. They may be able to write a specific filter for that.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea either if you send your ISP. Typically you use abuse@, right?
Abuse@ and whatever your ISP is. So abuse@,
myisp.com, whatever it is. Yeah. And send them you could either... Sometimes you can forward them the email to show it to them as long as there's no attachments to it. That they won't accept attachments, obviously. And hopefully your abuse department to your ISP will get to it. It's a good idea.
Right. And then also, if you want, you can send them the headers in Outlook. It's under View Options. And then you can see the email headers. And the email headers give sort of a path as to where that email came from and at least the originating IP address of that email, where it at least gives them a starting point to where to look. But again, most of that's done by zombies and bots, and there's no really hard.
Hopefully that helps you out a little bit, Bob.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And speaking of which, on a similar story, Blue Security has obviously made somebody very mad. Spammers have fought back by hitting Blue Security customers with thousands of messages. They are the guys who do...
Blue Frog.
Now, I knew this was coming. It was only a matter of time. You didn't really think they were going to get away with this for too long without somebody hitting back. These messages place the blame on Blue Security and tells customers to stop using the anti-spam service. It basically says, you signed up because you're expecting to receive a lesser amount of spam. Unfortunately, due to the tactics used by Blue Security, you'll end up receiving this message or other nonsensical spams 20 to 40 times more than you would normally, the message says. In addition to the spam, Blue Security claims its website may have been the target of a distributed denial of service attack.
Yep.
After it was rendered inaccessible on Tuesday, the site continued to be slow. That was last Wednesday. I haven't looked too much.
Yeah.
Now, what Blue Frog does is they work by putting users into a do-not-spam database. The online order forms of the spamming companies are filled out with a request to quit sending spam. So basically, what Blue Frog is doing is they're taking all the emails that people send in as spam and spamming them.
Right.
And they're saying, okay.
Yeah,
this is what we do for a living, so we'll just spam harder.
Yeah, and this actually happened to Major Geek some time ago when we were the big malware and spyware and adware thing was going on. They tried to shut us down on multiple occasions, and you saw this coming. But it's an Israeli company, and if you spam somebody on their list, they will attack back.
Right,
and it's just been a big war. The program, if you want to check it out, is under our mail utilities called Blue Frog. It's free, and it's a neat little tool.
If you like extra spam.
If you'd like extra spam, I'd wait a little bit.
I just thought it was an interesting tie-in to the phone call because, like you said, your first thing you want to do is track them down and kill them.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful how you do it, and you have to be especially careful. For example, if you could find out who was sending you the email, the question then becomes, what do you do with it then?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to email them, what are you going to accomplish? They're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, did I spam you? I'm going to remove you. No, they're just going to spam you more. Mm-hmm. And you just told them that your email is valid. keeping it active on spam lists.
That's actually one of the bigger mistakes that people make. They get a spam, and at the bottom, by law, these people are required to have a remove me link.
That's a good law.
At the bottom of, and all that does is confirm that your email is valid, and they'll send you more and more and more.
Right. With the exception of the rule being websites who where you went and signed up for the list.
Yeah, legitimate companies, but you know, in the spam world, what, 1% is a legitimate company?
Right.
You know,
it's horrible. You got some more questions over there, didn't you?
Sure. Since no one was able to figure out that one, and just, quite frankly, I wasn't able to.
I'm disappointed at you, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, I thought Bill had that one cold. Let's go with another Geek Quiz question, a little something easier. It's question number 6. An SATA 150 drive will always be slower than an SATA 3 gig drive. This is true or false? That's an SATA 150 drive will always be slower than an SATA 3 gig drive. True or false? So you're 50-50. And call in, and if you get it right, we'll give you a t-shirt.
Cool. That was it?
That's it. How's that? That easy?
Wasn't very exciting, but hey. Yeah. How about this? Did you look at this website yet, the website of the week yet?
No.
It's called the Reflex Tester Game. And it's www.reflexgame.com. You can test your reflexes on what Mike says is a cool, addictive website.
Well, Mike's level of cool and is, you know, a little, you know, lower base.
Time to break. Can you hold?
Cool.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. It says click on start, wait until the background color changes. As soon as it changes, hit stop. My response time is 0.579 seconds. Keep practicing.
Wow.
How fast do I got to be?
It's almost robot level and they don't like it.
0.469. Keep practicing.
That site must just be reserved for video game players. Eh?
Well, I am on my laptop, that could be part of the problem. You know what I mean? Start, stop. 0.532 seconds. Keep practicing.
That's all that site does?
That's it. Mike has an interesting way of...
Yeah. I just tried a little hack around it, and I got a pop-up window and said, cheater!
Oh, man, it's good stuff. Check this out.
It's reflexgame.com, so...
Yeah, it's on the... I'm going to have to start picking some of these websites of the week. That's almost annoying, man. I think I could do it faster if I was at home. But I'm down to 0.468, and I've gotten... Oh, it's cheater again. This is not all that exciting, actually.
No.
All right, hey, what do we got? Hey, it's Bill from Groton on Line 8. Answer to the question. That's all you had to do was ask. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
I'll say the answer is no.
To which one?
And why?
The last
and
one?
Why?
Well, I thought the other guy there gave away the answer on the first one, so I thought that was null and void.
I was right on the first one then?
Yeah, 32.
Yes. Oh, Bill!
I love multiple choice.
You just hit two of them out of the park. All right, first off, in case anybody's wondering, Tim had no idea. He was just throwing out.
Well, it's multiple choice, you can guess.
But, an SATA 150 drive will always be slower than an SATA 3 gig drive. True or false, Bill?
False.
Why?
Because the drive's mechanics aren't going to allow faster speed anyway.
Right.
That's one thing, and you could be hooked to a same controller, like a SATA 1, and therefore it would be the same speed.
Perfect. Perfect.
Wow.
We got to geek his wardrobe up here.
Bill, are you cheating, man?
No.
Okay, I know you are.
I've been doing this 25 years.
He's not cheating because, although if you had the magazine, you could actually look up that answer.
Yeah.
It won't tell you why.
Right.
So, and he hit it out of the park, both of them.
Bill, we sent you a t-shirt yet?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to put you back with Gus, get your address and phone number, if you don't mind, and we'll send you out a t-shirt. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Will Smith is on hold. We're going to get to him right after this short little break. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com. Is that Technology Geeks? On WFBL.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390, WFBL.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to ContentWatch.com.
Zero. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major, Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft. Go to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes, you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
And we're back, MajorGeeks.com, so Technology Geeks, Talk Radio, WFBL, and luckily for me, because I'm just about out of things to talk about, and I really stink at this, we have Will Smith on the line. You there, Will? Bail me out.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, what are you doing?
Doing great.
How's the West Coast treating you?
Well, it's 7 o'clock in the morning here, guys, so it's a little cloudy and cold, but we're hoping for some sun, and you know, I have Oblivion, though, so what am I, who am I kidding? I'm not going anywhere today.
I was up at 7, too, but I went back to sleep. Is that your big plan?
I think I'm actually going to get up and go out. It's looking pretty nice. We might grab some breakfast. It's
supposed to clear here as well. Let me ask you this. I just got my new Maximum PC. It just came in the mail, I think, probably yesterday. Thursday or Friday. So what do we got coming up in, this May or June now that we just got?
I think we talked about May already, but June is the Vista one, right?
June is Vista.
Is that the one you guys have? Okay.
Yep. I heard some rumors Vista might be delayed again.
You know, Gartner is coming out and saying that Vista's probably, I mean, they think this is going to be delayed beyond, a November RTM. Wouldn't really surprise me. It's one of those things that, I mean, I'd rather them spend the time and get it right than kind of release early and have problems.
Is the file system still out?
The file system, well, WinFS is out. The file system as kind of database is out.
Right.
But the high speed search is still in. So, okay. The high speed search is what most people are expecting from that database file system.
There.
That's the big benefit.
Yeah.
The thing that you lose by not having WinFS is the ability to search like everything on every file share on your network with the same kind of speed that you do the local stuff with Google Desktop Search or Windows Desktop Search.
Thank you. I was just going to ask you. So you're talking basically a competitor to Google's Desktop Search, but it's going to be built into Vista.
Built into Vista, and it's a little more, I mean, the options are a little more available. To really get the most out of Google Desktop Search, you have to know what to type in, know how to use the quotes, and know which delimiters you can use to limit the search options that you're looking at, and the Microsoft one makes that stuff more available with a GUI.
So what's the reason for the delay, do you know?
It's not ready. I mean, bugs. Bugs, things aren't working, it's slow.
I don't know why I didn't start right from the ground up with it.
No, I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, they're not saying officially. I mean, my feeling from using it is that it wasn't going to be ready in August. Mm-hmm. Once you miss the holiday season, then it's kind of why should you bother shipping? Why not spend another 4 months and make it even better?
Right.
Yeah, that's the biggest complaint I know from people who have been using it, and I haven't. But it was the slowness, and these are people with the really good machines. So I'm wondering what the actual hardware requirements of this thing is when they actually do release it.
I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, beta OS, it's always tough to judge performance. I'm not here to apologize for Microsoft, but
no.
The version that I used for this story, I think, was 5308, and it was a order of magnitude slower than the previous beta release. So, I mean, sometimes somebody accidentally flips a debug switch that makes everything slow. But, I mean, I haven't seen the latest build yet, actually. It was supposed to be a lot better.
Right. There is some great stuff in this magazine this month. Of course, there usually is. I see you managed to build a $1,000 gaming rig that can get 50 frames per second on Fear. And for those who said, what?
Whoa!
That just means Fear is a pretty memory-intensive, video-intensive game. Mm-hmm. And getting 50 FPS out of it on a $1,000 rig is a pretty impressive thing. I'm assuming that's without the monitor.
Yeah, it's just a box. I mean, when we do these build-a-rig things, usually it's, I mean, the idea is that you're going to use your keyboard, mouse, and monitor and speakers mm-hmm. that you have already.
Sure.
But, I mean, I was shocked that we were able to get that kind of performance out of, I mean, Fear is essentially a next-gen game, yeah. And, I mean, it runs really, I mean, lots of games run really well on that machine.
And since you want to take into account that typically the average price for the hottest chip on the market is around $800 to $1,000 on average.
Yeah.
You've built a complete machine that can run one of the newest games at more than acceptable frame rates at the cost of what a new chip would cost you.
Right. I mean, for what an Athlon FX60 costs, more or less. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. I love the Watchdog feature, too. He's great.
I have a 4800. I don't think I get 50 frames per second with a...
No?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that 7600 GT card is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the long and short.
Awesome.
It's kind of the new GeForce 4200 for mid-range video cards.
And the nice thing, too, I see that right up Jim's alley, they have a whole section on how to back up your hard drive. Photos, financial records, your saved games or your games. What are you covering? You're covering from hard drives to different programs?
Restoring. I mean, the funny thing is, lots of people back up their hard drives, but a lot of times it's kind of hard to restore stuff. So you have to either... You install Windows to another directory and then go through that whole process and restore your hard drive and then wipe out the initial Windows install. So we found a program called SyncBack that actually makes restoring a lot easier.
Yeah, we got that on Major Geeks.
Brilliant.
Backup. It's a good program.
I love seeing that. That's the single biggest question I've ever asked people when they call up. I've got a problem. Do you have a backup? Silence, crickets.
Makes me want to tell you the story from that email yesterday, but I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, all right.
my favorite backup story, guys, is the Penny Arcade guys. I know you must be familiar with them.
Absolutely.
With gaming comics, yeah. What the artist bought a backup drive and then saved everything to the backup drive without actually, saving anything on the hard drive. So he wasn't actually making a backup of anything. He just assumed that there was some sort of weird mojo inside the box that made backups. And then that drive died, so, the entire history of a full-size art of any arcade was lost, and they had to send it off to a data recovery place.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah.
That isn't cheap. That can run you $1,000+.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a $2,000 mistake. So.
Oops.
What are you guys getting anyway? Because I can't tell people enough. This is a magazine that you've got to have. And if you pick this one up on the newsstand, unless I'm reading wrong, there are three little cutout things here where you can subscribe to Maximum PC for 12 issues for $12.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the deal. That's without our disc. So,
right.
But there's also an option for the disc for $29. So... I mean, you get it's a buck an issue without the disc, two or three with. I mean, it's a great deal.
Are you kidding me? It's got to cost you 50 cents to ship it.
Yeah, well, we...
It's great.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it does cost
you. You thought I was picking on you at first, right?
No, I was thinking about it. I was like, 50 cents seems a little high, but no, it's... I mean, we're practically giving it away here, so...
I don't work at the post office. How much is our stamps now?
My wife does that. I think a first-class stamp is something like $8.
Yeah?
Yeah.
$8.99, I thought.
Oh, nice. It is a great deal. But I thought it was like 35 cents up to like 8 ounces. Yeah. I don't know what the magazine weighs.
Yeah, we get special rates for magazines, but it's still, I mean...
Trying to make it look good.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
You don't need my help. I also see you looked at the Western Digital's 500 gig. Have you looked at the 750 gig that came out?
Yeah, we just got it the other day. It's we haven't benchmarked it yet. It honestly came, I think, Thursday evening, and we shipped the July issue yesterday. So
okay. How about, I noticed you got a few good articles in here. I noticed, I was kind of curious about this one, too. I see Dell bought Alienware. I guess the assumption is that they can now sell AMD machines, correct?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think the other part is that Dell, I mean, Dell wants to be making money off of that high-end gaming PC market. And by buying Alienware, they get, I mean, they essentially buy 70 or 80% of that market mm-hmm. for a relatively low cost. So
well, their machines are pretty good.
Yeah, Alienware machines are pretty good. I mean, they're reasonably priced, so.
I had one, the Aurora or something, and I think I decided to try Dell out just for kicks. I just thought it'd be fun to try this XPS because it just seems kind of weird that somebody like Dell would have this high-end gaming rig. So I picked one up, and I've been real happy. As a matter of fact, recently I was thinking about buying a new computer, and then I realized that would be kind of stupid because my Dell XPS runs everything and anything I need right now
mm-hmm.
at, I think, 3.2.
I mean, traditionally in our system roundups, the Alienwares usually do better in the desktop machines, and the Dells usually do better on the notebooks.
Right.
Just because the Pentium M is a better gaming chip than the Dell is using for laptops, and the Athlon 64 seem to be better for desktop gaming. So.
This is very cool, too. You have an article on Dual Core Survival Guide. A lot of people are unaware of how to maximize their dual core and what it is capable of doing for them. Can you tell me a little bit about what you covered in that?
Well, so in addition to kind of maximizing what you get out of it, you know, ways to use both cores at the same time, even for single-threaded apps that don't inherently use that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a couple of problems people are having. I mean, some older games aren't running very well with dual core.
Yep.
And we go through all the stuff. I mean, there's kinds of hoops you have to jump through,
mm-hmm.
but we're helping people out with that. Dual core is definitely I wouldn't recommend buying a single core machine now unless you're on a really tight budget. But
eventually, I would think single cores are just going to go to the wayside, right or no?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, everybody's. It's much easier to get better performance by adding another core than it is to crank the clock speeds up and your machines run quieter and cooler. So
yeah, the heat is the big problem there. And yeah. the new stuff, the memory timing between the cores is supposed to be getting wider and wider and wider too. So it's going to be it's pretty exciting.
I mean it's only going to get better. And I mean, there's other really interesting stuff being worked on too. It's kind of weird, but AMD is working on something that we're kind of calling reverse hyperthreading, which is basically, you know, hyperthreading takes one core and splits it out into two kind of available CPUs. Reverse hyperthreading, which is a terrible name, takes two cores and allows it to operate as a single CPU.
It's got to have a cool sounding acronym though, right? To make it sound cool.
Yeah, RHD maybe, or yeah.
RHT, there you go.
There you go. It's got to have something to make it sound cool, you know.
If this is how good you are at 7:30 in the morning, man, you must be awesome at noon.
Anything else you want to talk about with this month's magazine?
I think that's it this month. I mean, we've got another good magazine. So I hope you guys enjoy. And
yeah, just waiting for you to give me one bad month because I'm telling you, it really is good every month.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to disappoint, but we're gonna keep trying hard not to do that. So.
Very cool. All right, well, thanks for helping us cover some time today. I needed your help.
Oh, thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. I love Will. It is a good magazine, too, and you know, I'd love to be saying that I'm just sucking up to the guests, but it's not what it is. I've been, like I said, I've been a subscriber to this since, I believe it was called Boot, wasn't it?
May have been. I remember you telling me about it. I got it. I started getting it about a year and a half or two ago.
Pretty sure it was called Boot.
Yeah.
Now he's gone. I can't ask him, but I'd have to check. But I'm pretty sure it was at one time called Boot, and basically, I think the word was probably just a little misleading. They opted to change your name. He could probably fill me in and tell me what the deal was. But an obvious guess would be, if you were somebody walking into a store and you're looking through computer magazines, you would buy Computer World, PC Magazine. You would buy something like that. Boot, you're kind of like, it's a little thinner than the other ones because it's not all full of ads.
Yeah.
And you'd look at it and go, it's a little nerdy, you know. But you change the name, Maximum PC. And I'm sure they've retained their readership over the years and done just a phenomenal job. And for a dollar an issue, you walk into the store right now, my price tag on here says $8.99 U.S., $10.99 Canadian. So basically, walk into the store.
Look in the back of the magazine.
Listen, everybody throws them out. So you just rip the $12 thing, you know, out and don't get caught.
Also, in this month, there's a coupon for 12 free music downloads, too.
There is?
Yeah.
Where?
We're in the Johnny Cash picture. Don't tell anybody, though. Keep it amongst ourselves.
Okay.
So.
Well, luckily for us, we can go to break because we only have a few minutes left after that. Hallelujah! You are listening to MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks and Talk Radio, 1390 WFBL.
Call the Technology Geeks now at 00110100000.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
Does your business technology strategy consist of daily computer emergencies? Are you dealing with spyware, spam, viruses, and computer breakdowns rather than paying attention to your business? Call the professionals at Rent-A-Nerd at 454-5611. With over 25 years of experience, Rent-A-Nerd will devise a technology strategy that'll work for you. Stop wasting your money on endless repairs and make an investment in technology. Call Rent-A-Nerd today at 454-5611. Rent-A-Nerd. Funny name? Maybe. Professional results? Absolutely.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
It's all about the opinions, baby.
And we are back. Jim is rocking out. MajorGeeks.com, the love Technology Geeks, 1390 WFBL.
I love that riff.
And we're going to rip into another question to show you how geeky the Geek Quiz really is.
Again, first one to answer gets a T-shirt, theoretically.
Except for Bill.
Bill's out.
B1.
As a matter of fact, from here on out, any question we ask would just preface it with, except for Bill, you can answer this. Bill the man. Let's see, question 11. And y'all should know this, because we've gone over this on the radio show.
I'm going to be the one who doesn't know.
What does Microsoft plan to name its operating system following Vista? A.
I don't know.
Everest. B. Vesuvius. C. Vienna. D. Bratwurst. What does Microsoft plan to name its operating system following Vista, Everest, Vesuvius, Vienna, or Bratwurst? First one in gets a T-shirt at, what's the number?
I don't know, 421-9325 or the hard way, 421-WFBL. Wow, I knew that.
Wow.
They could call it ham because it's really looking like a real pig right now. Thank you. Can we close the show now? I got a good joke in. Let me out of here. And there goes the phone. We got somebody calling in. Did you know there are 694 million people online now?
No.
Yeah. So you thought we were doing a lot of traffic. Well, guess what? We ain't doing nothing. We're missing 693.5 million people somehow. I don't know why. Some 694 million people worldwide over the age of 15 are now using the internet, about 14% of the total population in this age group. Yeah, that's the over age 15, according to a survey which was released just Thursday. According to a report, the U.S. still holds the single largest internet audience of 152 million users, followed by China with 72 million. And I really miss Mike now because we can skip the China joke. So now you know why everybody wants a piece of China, because they've got half the traffic that we have, and eventually as
more
much
than that,
or more. at some point.
And then, you know, they have a billion people. You know, we've got about 50, a little more than 50% of our users are internet active. You know, seven. They've got a billion people over there. The growth potential in China is tremendous.
Right, and I think we may have an answer to the question. Let's go to Ed. You there, Ed?
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Everest.
Yay! There he goes.
Wow, that apparently that one was too easy.
Isn't there a program called Everest out there?
I'm sure that Microsoft will somehow sue Everest, the program, and say that they thought of it first.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Bill Gates was 10 years old, he thought...
Oh, that was awful easy, huh?
That was easy, yeah.
If you can hang on, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still here, yeah.
I'm going to put you back over with Super Gus, and he's going to get your name, your address, and your phone number, which we need just for tracking purposes, and
no
your
problem.
Shirt size, and this afternoon I will get you and Bill out your T-shirts.
That's awesome.
All right, thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Hey, that's a great show. I really enjoyed it. It's my first time listening.
That's so nice. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
We really got to close it now. Can we just quit? I got a joke. Somebody said I was good at this. I'm done. Thank you.
Well, that's it, man.
I've left the building.
We can retire.
Now, I wanted to mention to people, we get a lot of people who come to the website, and I don't know how to say it nicely. I don't want to insult anybody, but a lot of times they're a little confused by their computer. You know, the average person, they just want to use their computer for searching the web and you know, doing a little shopping and the basic stuff, and that's quite understandable. Yeah. Without that, I would be driving a truck still.
Exactly. The site's a little geeky, so they come asking some basic questions.
So I've had this question asked to me quite frequently. I got to the website, now what? So I put together a little section. It's called Top Freeware Picks. And if you look at MajorGeeks.com, I will actually put a link on the Technology Geeks later as well. Over to the right side under Info towards the top of the page, you will see New start here. And directly under that, Top Freeware Picks. Well, what this is it's set up into sections where it says, I would like to check for adware or spyware. Protect my computer from adware or spyware. Protect my computer from viruses. Check for rootkits. Protect my computer to firewall. Free up hard drive space. Clean my registry. Find a better browser. All are free. As everything on Major Geeks is spyware free, virus free, always has been. It's always been tested beforehand. But these are picks as well. These are stuff that we actually use ourselves.
There's about 40 or 50 programs that are on our computers right now that are free and work very, very well.
Absolutely.
And again, it's called the Top Freeware Picks.
Right.
And, you know, if you're new to computing, start there. Download them. Try them, and it's going to open up an entire new world to your operating system.
I've tried to walk people into it as well, as basically there's a legend, which means it tells you green, yellow, or red. Green means a novice can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow means an intermediate, and red is major geek, meaning it's probably a little more difficult than somebody would want to do. It's all broken down. For example, if you stop at the first section, I would like to check for adware or spyware. It tells you the color codes, and it tells you that you should pick at least two. So you're not looking at it going, okay, I have five of these here. Do I need all five? No, you need at least two. And this is typical for scanning for adware or spyware. Typically, Windows Defender is a good one, adware, spybot. We list a couple other ones, A-squared, hijack free, and hijack this. And a lot of people have all of those on there. What's the question? What's the largest shirt size we got?
Some of them come in, we have very few 3X, we do have 2X, and, you know, that's about it. By the way, I'd like to just remind people that, this week at Cucina Di Amore in Bayberry Plaza, Liverpool, the Sierra Mist, That's Funny National Comedy Search, Syracuse, the number there is 516-0072. If you think you're funnier than Mike Rea, which is probably about 90% of our audience, give them a call. You can get up on stage maybe be the next sitcom star.
Wow, I made it through an hour.
Yeah.
You have been listening to MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks, and Talk Radio 1390 WFBL. Thank you.
Talk Radio 1390 WFBL, Syracuse. The